of everyone. If you've been involved in the hours of prayer that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, and you found it difficult, would you put your hand up? Put my hand up. I want to share this one, and some people haven't even been involved, and which is fine. I'd be interested in asking them how their daily prayers have been going. Maybe they've got found a way that works for them. They could share it with us. But what we do know is that the Bible shares the hours of prayer. So that's good enough for me. Now, the reason why is it so difficult? I was asking the Lord, Lord, how come it's so difficult? I put things on my phone. I've got 3 alarms on the phone. I've got determination. And all of a sudden, oh, I missed it again. And then I'm going to pray. Now, it doesn't matter if I miss that time. It doesn't matter about the times. You can have different times. It's okay. But I just thought, why is it so difficult? It's like, it's difficult. And in my spirit, I sensed a familiar thing. Let me tell you that it was when I was first attending church regularly as a young man, I found that whenever anyone would start to read the Bible, I'd want to fall asleep. I'm not joking. I would just fall asleep. The man would go to the front. It wouldn't make any difference if he had a loud voice, quiet voice, dynamic or not dynamic. I just want to fall asleep. And I would fall asleep. I mean, I just fall right asleep in the church. I was singing in this band, and the band would rehearse on the Sunday afternoons. We used to have a really enjoyable time. We'd spend a few hours, and we'd be there for the morning service. And then in the afternoon, you know, we'd have and then in the evening, another service. And in the morning service, I'd fall asleep. And in the evening service, I'd fall asleep. And in the afternoon, I would be the life of the party. I mean, I would just have bags of energy and doing everything. So why was I falling asleep? There was a spiritual dimension to it. Now, I've taken alpha courses with people, and I've seen this happen in alpha courses. I've seen when the video goes on, eyes get closed and people fall asleep. They just fall asleep. I tell you the truth, it's a spiritual thing. Sometimes it's going to be a physical thing, people are just tired, but sometimes it's a spiritual thing. People are spiritually under an attack, as it were, in the physical realm. That's why I'm convinced the devil certainly doesn't want people praying the hours of prayer at 9, 12, and 3. I mean, the devil doesn't want those prayers going on, okay? I hope that's not a revelation to anyone. The devil doesn't want us praying at those hours. So he's involved in a spiritual level attack. He's trying to get people not to do that, to do anything else apart from that, and to then justify not doing it. You know, attack the preacher. Well, we don't agree with the preacher. What's the preacher going on about? I don't believe. I think it's religious. Well, listen, you have your opinion. Talk to the Bible. I'm telling you Bible truths. These are the Bible truths. Hours of prayer are real. They're there. They're biblical. And God wants us to be in prayer. The enemy doesn't want us in prayer. He wants us disengaged. Now watch what happens. As we start this Bible study this morning, this can be important for our lives. It can really have an impact. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:11, just very briefly, just to set things up and my train of thought up for you this morning. Turn to those scriptures. 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says this, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I'm taking it out of context of the scripture, but certainly what we can say is that there is a note here to suggest very clearly that we need to be understanding Satan's devices. Now, come with me now quickly as we go to another portion of scripture which shows us, reveals Satan's devices. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew and chapter 4. Matthew 4. Now, this is a very interesting portion of scripture. It reveals to us the potency of what's going on in this battle, so to speak, that we're in. Let's read from verse 1 of Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, take note, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Hold on a sec. Why was Jesus led by the Spirit, capital S, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? Let me say this to you. Listen, when you fall asleep, when it's not easy, when you fail and fail and fail, you're trying to do something that you know is from God, but you're failing, listen, it's okay, because that's the period when growth takes place. The winter isn't good for plants. But the winter, if it gets really cold, it can kill the plants. But I really want my plants to go through the winter. Because when they do, the roots get strong. They don't get strong in the summer. They get strong in the winter. So if you've decided to come to church and you find yourself falling asleep, it's okay. It's no condemnation for those in Christ. You keep falling asleep. One day, the Lord will perhaps awaken you to the revelation that what the Bible talks about is going to change my life. And now I'm going to be awake. Now, until he does it, we may be falling asleep. But there's no condemnation. It's okay. It's a journey. It's a journey I've been on. I used to fall asleep more than any of them. None of the others fell asleep. I fell asleep. I'm convinced that sometimes what the Lord does is he takes the weak and foolish things of this earth, and then he turns them around and puts them as the leaders in the church. The very least ones you'd expect to be leading the church end up leading the church. The very least ones you'd expect to be writing the New Testament end up writing the New Testament. I'm thinking of Saul, who turned into Paul. And that's how gracious he is. And he's so wonderful and so gracious. And we can't thank him enough. Let's read what it says now. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God." The devil comes with if. You remember in Genesis, the Garden of Eden? If he comes with a question. We live in a society that is always questioning. It's an interesting society. Higher criticism questions everything. So you see, some people will ask you questions for which it is impossible to show the exact answer. You can't show the exact answer, but the answer does exist, and it is patently clear to anyone with eyes to see or ears to hear. But for the skeptic, for the cynic, who's darkened in their sight, who's blinded, who doesn't hear, they won't get any information. God is showing us something important this morning. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written." Now notice, the devil came caught in the Bible. Listen, the devil usually quotes the Bible. So when you're in a trap, and you're in a trap, and you're in some funny teaching, and you think you're right, you're in a funny teaching though, that teaching is robbing you from the truth. It's robbing you from the whole gospel. It's a funny little teaching that you started to believe. You're convinced that you're right. You're convinced that, you know, the others haven't quite elevated to your level of understanding. This is what the enemy does. This is how he does it. Very subtle. Not obvious. Doesn't come marching into church with a pitchfork and say, "Right, who's going to follow me? Come on." And leading people out of the church. No, he's subtle. And this is how he worms his way in. Quoting scripture. The audacity of Satan. Quoting scripture to Jesus. The enemy will quote scripture to us. He will twist scripture. And he'll get scripture to just get you off course. This is why we must be reliant on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he leads us into truth with peace, wisdom and understanding. And Jesus answers him, though, you see, with scripture, but in context. This is why context, biblical context, is vital. So many Christian preachers that I hear, you know, you hear people on the television and things, they're quoting scripture, but it's out of context. Trying to say good things at times, but sometimes it's a trap. Because people make life decisions based on scriptures that are taken out of context with no reference points, and now they're making life decisions based on that, and it's really damaging. This is why we have to be balanced and see things in a biblical context. So biblical context is vital for us. And this is what this is what Jesus answers with. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Another scripture the devil's quoting. Jesus said to him, "It's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus answered everything with the word of God. Answered everything clearly, straightforwardly with the word of God. But notice, the enemy attacks, he'll use the word of God. If that doesn't work, what he'll do is he'll offer kingdoms and glory. You know, not everything that looks like a good thing for you is an open door from God. Not everything is an open door from God. When I was in Arizona last year, I was invited to have lunch with someone who had been involved in music. And that person, when they were a young musician, dreaming of the glory, the kingdoms of the world, had a phone call with a subsequent meeting. And I'm going to spare you some of the details. But I'll tell you this. He was met by a man on two occasions who said that he was going to help him and that he'd organized everything for his career, and the career would go to a different level now of world superstardom. So world superstardom was there. It had all been arranged with the record companies, etc., etc., and a contract was taken out, and the only thing that he had to do was prick his finger, and they were going to take some blood and then sign the contract in his own blood. And it transpired that that man was in fact the head in a satanic organization involved in the music business, and wanting to then give this man the superstardom that he knew would be very appealing for him. You see, we want certain things, and the devil will give them to us. He'd have been very happy with the superstardom, but thanks be to God, his mother was a Christian woman praying for him. She intervened on his behalf. Let me say this. The first temptation that we've read about concerns the lust of the flesh, verses 3 and 4. So Jesus is hungry, and the devil tempts him to convert stones into bread. But he replies with scripture, "A man shall not live by bread alone." You see, Satan will try to take us off track by trying to get us to focus on something that has been missing in our lives. You know, I mentioned earlier that when I used to attend church, first of all, I'd fall asleep. And then we changed the rehearsal times that we were having, so we didn't have to be there on Sunday afternoons. And then I started to get into having my morning breakfast in a very nice cafe that overlooked the Thames, and I used to have the morning papers around me with a beautiful breakfast, and I used to have my friends come and visit me there, and I would socialize. And I'd have about 3 hours there, 4 hours maybe. It was very nice. All the staff knew me. I had my little table overlooking the Thames. Very nice. And when I realized, because in his grace he was growing me, when I realized that really I should be at church in the Sunday morning rather than having, you know, these nice breakfasts that I would have with the Sunday papers and all the people gathering to meet with me and socializing, the pull was very strong. I knew that it was best for me to be in church. I could feel that there was a difference. Every time I left, I knew it was the right thing to do. But the pull of those breakfasts became so strong. And then the devil started he'll twist. So he'll use what you're missing to try and twist you off track. He'll tell you things like, "Those people deserve to hear the message of the gospel. They're never going to go to church. You have church there, right there in the restaurant, with a nice cappuccino and the lovely breakfast and the papers. You can be Jesus to them right there. They need someone to, who else is going to communicate the gospel to them?" Have you ever had a similar message being given to you? So he'll use what you're missing to try and get you to do that which in the end is going to hurt you and harm the call of God on your life. I'm so thankful that God in his grace, He's so gracious. You couldn't get much more of a rebellious, foolish person than me. I'm not being falsely humble in saying this. It's not false humility. It's just the truth, folks. But his grace. Oh, he's so wonderful. His grace. He didn't look at me and define me by my faults. He didn't look and say, "Oh, right, you've messed up now. You've messed up too much. There you go again, messing up again. You're making the wrong decision again. How many times are you going to be wrong?" He didn't say that. Every time I messed up, he just, with love, picked me up. "It's all right, son. On we go." He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Why do you think I turned around this morning and shouted to everyone, "Praise him"? He deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. He is so wonderful. In fact, everyone stand up just now. Let's just stand. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Oh, come on, lift your voice and thank him and praise him. Give you all the honor and praise that's due your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to worship you, Lord, and praise you and honor you in our lives, that our lives will be a testimony to your grace. Oh, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We're so grateful this morning for what you've done in our lives. We worship you, Savior. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, you're so wonderful, Lord. We worship you. Praise his glorious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Thank you. Our Lord God, thou who made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou who made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched hand. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, great and mighty God, great in power and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Oh, hail the Lamb enthroned on high. His praise shall be our battle cry. He reigns victorious, forever glorious. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's take our seats. You know, Satan tries to pin people down through focusing on what we're missing out on. You know, oh, if I start attending Sunday evening services, then I'm going to miss this. And I missed, I'd love to go to prayer meeting. I can't go to prayer meeting because I've got this and this. Oh, and I'll miss out on this. And I'll miss, you know, I understand. God understands. It's okay. Just my advice is this. The quicker you come around to his way of doing things, the better it'll be for you. That's my advice. He's a good God. He's got good plans for us. And he's got patience and time. He's Alpha and Omega. He'll wait for you. But if you're wise, go to his way quick. It'll be better for you. And you'll be very thankful. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, what happens is you just go more and more frustrated. Things will be frustrating. Things will frustrate in life. The truth is that when we deny our own desires, in order to follow God's call, we show that we are maturing enough to become effective ministers. Jesus went through this before his ministry begins. And there is a need for God's ministers. There has to be that self-denial. The trouble is, today, people want to do what they want to do, and then they'll slot God in on, you know, yeah, oh, I'm a committed Christian. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're just slotting God in. That's not the New Testament that we read. That's not what Paul was preaching. When Paul says, I'm a bondslave to Christ, when Jesus himself says, listen, you can't be my disciple unless you deny yourself. You can't do that. So there has to be, this is an all or nothing thing. And he's calling us for this. But you know, the good news is, it's just beautiful. The transition period is, you know, you can be falling asleep. But when you get there and you're just committed and this is it, beautiful. Just think, if I had chosen the Sunday breakfasts, or, you know, the other thing I had to make a choice of was Fridays. On Fridays, we had a prayer meeting in the church, and I used to lead the singing in the prayer meeting, and we had a little group, and you know, really, I remember I was offered a very good job, very good wage, and it was a fortune for me. And, you know, the only problem was I would have to miss the midweek Friday prayer meeting. But it was, you know, now I could have said, well, the Lord has provided. Oh, the Lord's provided for me. It's a six-figure job, six-figure sum. He's provided for me. I could have convinced myself that that was God's will, that it was his blessing for me. But you know, it really wasn't. It was Satan's trap. It was glory and kingdom. It was glory and kingdom. It was a trap. And so many people fall into that and they get waylaid. And Satan, this is his, you see, we're not to be ignorant of his schemes. Do you realize why I started out with that scripture? These are the schemes of the enemy, folks. We need to be wise to them. We need to be wise to these schemes so that we can live in his schemes for us, his plans, his will for us. Amen? Amen. So I'm so happy that by his grace, I chose the right thing. I dread to think what would have happened if I'd have taken that job. I would have missed out on the Friday prayer meetings. I just wouldn't like to think what would have happened. Or if I'd have kept on going, having conned myself that Sunday's breakfast was an important meeting where I would socialize and talk with people. I dread to think what would have happened. I'm so happy that I went God's way and following what the Bible says. See, the Bible teaches us, it says, don't be like some. They forsake the assembling of themselves. They're not that bothered. They come sometimes, they don't bother. They're not there. Listen, no, that's not the Christian. The Christian way is being diligent. I'm not there for a person. I'm there for God. We come this morning for him, to worship him. Amen. You know, ultimately, I'm so happy with the worship band. I think it's lovely, you know, the way that they do it. It's such a blessing. But you know, if they weren't here, or if they were playing really badly, it wouldn't stop my fulfillment on a Sunday morning. I don't care if wrong notes are hit. It makes no difference. I'm here for him. Amen. I'm not here to be entertained. I'm here to worship God. And this is what he's called us to. And this is Christian maturity. And in the end, 5, 10 years down the line, whatever it might be, or next week, you'll find there will be fruit. But that's the way to fruit. The roots get strong. And it's commitment that causes that. You see, the hours of prayer in the day are like the pressure that cause us to say, I'm going to pray now. You've just 1 minute prayer, 30 second prayer. Some of the best prayers I've ever prayed, some of the most remarkable things have happened. I prayed a prayer once for a solicitor. We needed a special solicitor at a certain time in the past. I prayed a 30 second prayer, bang, that was it. Straight to the right person. Remarkable. It doesn't have to be long. It just needs to be a prayer, quick. And God will do stuff with prayer. So, you know, what a tragedy it is when people are hard-hearted towards God's will for their lives. The second temptation concerns another type of fleshy temptation. Matthew in chapter 4, 5 and 7. Once again, the devil uses a verse of scripture. He's quoting from the Psalms in this time, Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. But the Lord replies again with scripture to the contrary, quoting to him Deuteronomy. Now, it could be viewed as thrill-seeking. Let's just read. Let's read those verses 5 and 7 from Matthew 4. The devil took him up to a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. Well, I mean, I don't know, but to me, it sounds a little bit like that bungee jumping stuff. Go on, throw yourself down. He'll give his angels charge over you. You'll be all right. What's he saying in this temptation? This is a principle. What it is you could see that this is another flesh principle. The temptations pertain to the flesh. So it's the discipline of the flesh that the New Testament talks about. Once we go into the epistles, we have more commentary on this. Because what you find in Romans, for example, Paul is teaching about, he's comparing the flesh life with the spirit life in the book of Romans. He's saying, are you following after the flesh or are you walking by the spirit? If you follow after the flesh, it leads to death. If you follow after the spirit, it's life. And so the flesh is the areas of attack of the flesh. Throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. It's thrill-seeking. Or at least it can be. Now, there's nothing wrong with thrill-seeking. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with bungee jumping. If you want to do it, okay. What I'm saying is that we have to be careful in our lives that the emphasis of our lives and the thrust of our lives isn't on ourselves and on self-seeking and pleasure-seeking. You see, there's a thing that goes around now. People have this, what they call, and I don't even like saying the expression, a bucket list. I don't like listening to that. Certain amount of things they want to do before they die. Foolishness. It's like going to the pinnacle of the temple. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this and this and this. I've got a list of things I want to do. Well, who are you living for? You're living for Jesus or you're living for yourself? What's your life all about? God has called us to live with Christ ruling our lives. There's loads of things I'd love to do. I'm not going to do them. Unless I have a sense that God wants me to do them, I'm not doing them. I've got a long list of things. I'm happy. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to touch those things. I want God's will for my life. Let my life be shaped by Him, maneuvered by Him. And I'm not after thrill-seeking. And watch this. The church uses thrill-seeking at times as well. Check yourselves. Don't come to church for a thrill. Don't come to church for a thrill. Come because of God. If you find the prayer meeting boring, well, good. Come to the boring prayer meeting. Fill the boring prayer meeting with your prayers and do something that's spiritual in your life. An opportunity for you to get involved in something. If you come and you think it's too enthusiastic, it's not boring at all. In fact, some of them pray really loud and I just like praying quiet. Well, get over that. Come for God. It's Him who's the focus. He He's the one who's in charge of our lives. He's the focus of our lives. He's the King of Kings. And it's from him that we get. That's why we're here this morning, singing songs to him. Amen. Giving him all the praise and worship that's due. The truth is that when we deny our own desires in order to follow God's call, we show that we are maturing enough to become effective ministers. And the third temptation concerns the kingdoms of the world and glory, which we've mentioned to some degree. You see, the devil already has control of the kingdoms of the world. We found in Ephesians 2:2 that we looked at last week in the evening. And let me encourage you, if you want to come to Bible study on a Sunday, come in the evening. We talk around the tables, talk on theology, talk on, we're looking at the book of Ephesians at the moment. The devil has control over the kingdoms, but was ready to give everything to Christ in return for Christ's allegiance. And Christ says, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Watch what you're aiming for in life. Watch what you're aiming for. It's wrong to want to make a name for yourself, for example. Seeking importance. Watch out. Do you want glory? It's an epidemic today. People want to be stars. Everyone's on the TV. You know, everyone wants to be famous. They want the glory. They want the lights. That's entertainment. That's what they're after. As I mentioned, the man in Arizona last year, it was there for him on a plate. Thankfully, he didn't go that way. I wouldn't allow children to have posters of pop stars on their walls. I wouldn't allow that. Don't get people to aim at that. Why aim at that? Seriously. I mean, that's just something I wouldn't... That's not something we want to be aiming for. Satan wanted Jesus to aim for him, to worship him. Give worth to something. If you stick something on the wall in a very important room in your life, like the bedroom, it's having an influence. Be very careful with those things. Very careful what we give worth to in our lives. And this is where discipline and praying those three times a day comes into a powerful influence in our lives. The more we train ourselves to do things automatically, the more effective we will become. And part of that is to train ourselves not to do the wrong thing. And sometimes people haven't had the discernment to know which is right and which is wrong. Posters on the wall of pop stars is wrong. I remember a man in New York, the Brooklyn Tabernacle had a men's meeting, and this chap was a part of the men's group, and he started to act funny. You know, he started to become a tough guy. He was just a normal bloke, and then all of a sudden people noticed he changed a little bit. He sort of, his walk was a bit, he just changed a bit, you know, in the way he was. What's going on with him? You know, they sensed something was a bit funny. And they went round his house. Somebody was going out for a coffee before one of the men's groups. And there it was, a poster on the wall, Scarface. There was a film, Scarface, a very violent man with a machine gun. That was affecting the way he was. Now he's walking around like this, you know, he's because he's looking at this. This is something that he was aiming for. We have to be careful what we allow to influence us and our children. It has an impact. And so what the scriptures are teaching us is this. Listen, do not worship anything, give worth to anything, to any depth that isn't of God. And be wise to know what you're giving worth to. Train yourself and those you love to follow godly things, to be people who are committed giving worth to church, giving worth to worship in our family lives, worshiping Him. We're going to have worth, we're going to give worth to God now. We're going to read the scriptures, we're going to pray and worship God. See, there's a Bible verse which says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. We've got to train them. And I tell you the truth, young people are being bombarded with influences from the world, secular society, and those perspectives are as far removed as what I'm talking about this morning as you can get. Way off. And you're kidding yourself if you think that, you know, everything's going to be okay because you're a Christian and you say a few prayers now and then. No way. We have to be active. Take an active role in this. Train in the Bible is a word that is active and forceful. It says, I will not allow them to go that way. I will allow them to go this way. The Bible says, what's the time here? Let's go to, let's turn to 2 Timothy. Just let me read through this. 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to close with this. But I want us to read this and to understand. This is a very important. This is talking about grace and being strong in grace. But watch how it describes grace in balance, perspective. Watch this. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice, that's a decision that we make. I choose to be strong in His grace. A lot of people have conned themselves that, you know, well, now I've got grace, you know, I can be all sloppy old jellyfish, live any old way because it's grace. They cop out in grace talk. That's not grace. Grace is, you know, they that receive, Romans 5:17, they that receive an abundance of grace. It's my choice whether I receive an abundance of grace or not. How do I receive an abundance of grace? I put myself in the place where His grace is distributed, and that's in worship in His body, the church. That's being part of the fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And in prayer, and in worship, and in daily discipline. The scriptures talk about the believers, they met daily, worshiping the Lord daily. And making this part of the rhythm of their lives. That's why praying, those hours of prayer, it's an important thing if we can do it. It will make a huge difference 10 years from now. If you look back and you say, I've employed a method where I pray at 9, 12, and 3, it's going to make a big change in our lives, I promise you. We will look back and we'll say, whew, it was difficult at the start. I kept on forgetting. I would do anything apart from do it. Even though it was just even it was just 30 seconds. I couldn't. Why is it? I couldn't do a minute and a half a day. 30 is a minute and a half. Why is that so difficult? Because it's a spiritual thing. It's not a carnal exercise. This is a spiritual thing that will produce spiritual fruit. And there is a fight that's going on. And it takes a decision of our will. And the devil wants to make people passive. He wants us to be passive and just accepting anything that comes along. And God is saying, listen, wake up! Live my life! And this is how you live it, according to my word. Let's read what it says here, look. Verse 2, it says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men.
You know, there's some kind of men that they're faithful, they're diligent. They won't mess around. They're diligent. You can rely on some men. Be a man like that. If you messed up, don't worry. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't let the devil condemn you. That was then. But today, from today onwards, say, I choose to be a faithful man, a faithful woman. Okay? Watch this. Who will be able to teach others also. This is the priesthood of all believers, folks. This is our role now. Your role isn't a passive role. You're the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. It's not a passive role. It's an active role. And we have to, as a body, understand this. So the faithful ones are the ones who then will reach out, teaching others and causing others to come into this discipled life. Okay? It says this then. Verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship. You therefore must endure what? I thought it was all blessings and anything else. What's he talking about hardship for? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's called us. You see what he's done? He's called us to be as a soldier. Well, you know, I once saw a soldier film. We got soldiers here this morning. I once saw a soldier film. It was with a lady. She was called Private Benjamin. It was way back when I was a boy. She was doing her nails and everything in the morning, as I recall. There was something like that. Wanted to put her makeup on. And as soon as the sergeant found out, it was a big change. Because that's not how they do the army, folks. It's not quite like that, is it? The guy comes in the room. He says, now, chaps, we want you to come for a nice walk around. Oh, I don't feel like it. I'll be there in about 20 minutes. Is it like that?
No.
Give me half an hour I'd have woken up a bit more. I'll be there in half an hour. It wouldn't work, would it? It wouldn't work. They tip the bed up.
With you in it.
With you in the bed.
Closely followed by a bucket of cold water, will we?
Yeah. But you see the point. The analogy is a soldier. He's saying to us, look, listen. He's saying, look, when you're in this spiritual environment called the human body, born again, what's going to happen is there's going to be a wrestling match between your old nature, the flesh, and you know what? It's not wrong to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. A lot of Christians feel guilt through the temptation they've had. There's no guilt with temptation, folks. If you've been tempted, that's all right. We're all tempted. The question is, what do you do with the temptation? The ones I've seen around the world, pastors of huge churches falling under the temptations. Why? Well, somewhere along the line, They had forgotten the discipline of the soldier life. Somewhere along the line, they got too busy or something happened and they got out of sync with the soldier life that we're called to. This is why God is calling us and equipping us and saying, look, 3 times a day, 9, 12, 3, get this as a rhythm of your life. Pray a prayer for 30 seconds. If it's not those times, other times, but let your life be a disciplined life. Let being involved with the church be something that's not just added to your life, but it is your life. Because you're part of the body of Jesus Christ. This is my life. I can't separate myself from the body. I've got a role to play. We've got a role to play in the body. Now, I've heard, you know, soldiers, I don't know, you guys could tell me, but I hear that, for example, they get them to take a gun apart. And then they get them to put it back together. And then they get them to do it again and again and again, till in the end they're doing it blindfolded. Why on earth would you want to do that? Well, there may come a time when you'll need to do that. You'll need to do it in the dark. You'll need to do it in quiet. And having done it time after time after time after time after time, when you really need it, it's there. Preparation. The soldier's life is a disciplined life, so that you're okay now. The temptation isn't around. Everything's okay. Everything's going okay. But hold on. 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, 4 years down the line, if you're someone who's been prepared, disciplined, as a soldier, with the prayers going on, church going on, worshiping God, Bible study, you know, and living this as a disciplined life, when that temptation comes, it's okay. You can take it off. You can put it back together again, blindfolded. You see, he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. I would like us to talk. We haven't got time this morning. But in closing, I'll say this. The flesh walk and the spirit walk are compared in the book of Romans. The thing is this. Christians very often try to do this on their own strength. And what happens is we fail and we fail and we fail and we fail. It's not for us to do it on our own strength. That's the law. That's the Ten Commandments. What happened was that was superseded by a better commandment. The commandment of grace. Because God knew that we can't keep it. We don't work very well under those law criteria. But what we do is we work very well under grace. So when God revealed his grace to us through Jesus, now instead of me living a condemned life, I'm feeling condemned. It's up a roller coaster Christianity. I feel like a good Christian. I feel like a bad Christian. I feel like a good Christian. I feel like a bad Christian. No, that's finished. That was never right. What we now have is I'm in grace. I'm being filled by the Holy Spirit, which means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And he gets me to pray. He gets me to be in Bible study. He gets me to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters and God. I found when someone's having fellowship with God, they want to have fellowship with their brothers and sisters. So this is what he's calling us to. It's a beautiful call, and he's calling each one of us as a minister of his gospel. Let's stand, shall we? I'm going to just close your eyes as we close here this morning. I'm going to invite people to respond, and I'm just going to close by continuing reading a few verses from 2 Timothy. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen. Father God, I thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for the gospel of grace and the victory of Jesus Christ. We respond now and say, Lord, help us as we respond this morning. We might have been people who fell asleep quickly. We might have been people who just couldn't read the Bible for falling asleep. We might have been people who just... And this morning you've quickened something to us. We want to respond. We want to be yielded soldiers of Christ, disciplined. Help us with the 3 times prayer at least. 9, 12, and 3. Father God, help us now, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Now, if you want to respond and say, yes, Lord, that's for me. I'm responding this morning. I may have messed up, but I'm responding this morning. I'm starting afresh this morning with you, Lord. I'm making this decision of my will, a commitment to follow you according to your grace. Now then, if that's you, please respond to God this morning by lifting up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you see us, Lord. We're before you. We close this meeting and we ask this, that your will manifest in and through our lives, through Jesus our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. If anyone wants prayer for any healing or anything like that, you come forward to the front now. And let's see what Jesus can do. He's alive,
Amen.
Working what only he can work. Amen. Amen.